Welcome to the HN Pod. We're your daily deep dive into the Hacker News front page.
That's right.
Today is May 9th, 2025, and this is episode number 29.
29 already? Wow.
I know, right? So today we've got quite a mix from the site. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I saw the lineup. Looks great.
We're starting with something that sounds, well, almost unbelievable, turning lead into gold at the LHC.
Almost gold, yeah. We'll get into the specifics.
And then there's this big shakeup happening at the NSF, the National Science Foundation. Lots of discussion there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely some strong opinions on that one.
After that, we'll look at Sophie. It's an open source system for automating live TV news. Pretty neat.
Oh, interesting. Broadcast tech.
And for the real tech heads, some crazy fast CSV parsing 21 gigabytes a second.
Seriously fast, using SIMD.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, a show HN for a new SVG editor called HiVector. Looks promising.
A new challenger in the vector graphics space. Cool.
So yeah, a packed show, ready to jump in.
Let's do it.
Okay, that first headline, Alice detects the conversion of lead into gold at the LHC. I mean, that just grabs you, doesn't it? Alchemy.
It absolutely does. And technically, yes, the Alice experiment has seen lead transmute into gold.
Wow.
But, and this is the key thing, it's not the gold you're thinking of, like gold 197, the common stuff.
Ah, okay. So what is it then?
It's actually an isotope with one less neutron, so slightly different. And the mechanism they observed, well, it can also turn normal gold into mercury.
Gold into mercury. Okay, so definitely not the Midas touch.
Not exactly, no. And that leads right into the economics question. You know?
Right, because if you could make gold easily.
Exactly. But this changes absolutely nothing economically. First off, the element you'd sort of start with, platinum 196, it's only about 25% of natural platinum. Not super common.
Okay, so the starting material is tricky.
And more importantly, the amount they can make is, well, it's beyond tiny. Think about it. A gram of gold has like 3 × 10^21 atom.
A lot of zeros.
A huge number. And even a really advanced like desktop fusion device. It produces way, way fewer neutrons per second than you'd need. So, yeah, no LHC gold rush.
Okay. Definitely crossing that off my investment list. Mm. The Hacker News discussion also went into some pretty deep physics, didn't it? Black holes.
It did, yeah. Briefly touched on event horizons. You know, what happens when matter falls in?
Does it just become part of the singularity?
Well, that's one view. Another is that maybe it doesn't fundamentally change right at the horizon. It just can't get out. And some even question if singularities are, like, physically real or just where our math breaks down.
Mind-bending stuff. Okay, back to the gold, though, the energy cost. I remember seeing some just insane numbers.
Oh, completely insane. The discussion pegged it at something like 10 to the power of 11 years, 100 billion years, to make 1 gram this way.
100 billion years for a gram.
And the energy needed, 1.3 times 10 to the 26 joules. Which is a number so big it's hard to grasp.
How does that compare to something real? Yeah.
Well, think about boiling all of Earth's oceans. That's estimated around 8.5 times 10 to the 27 joules.
Okay.
So the energy for that 1 gram of LHC gold, it could only boil about maybe 1.5% of the oceans.
Wow, okay.
Or flip it around, if you could somehow harness the energy to boil all the oceans, you might get, what, maybe 65 grams of the specific gold isotope out of it.
So the alchemist's dream is still very much a dream.
Very much. And the discussion also pointed out, you know, even if you could make gold common, its value comes from its rarity.
Right. Flood the market and it's just another metal.
Precisely. The whole premise kind of undermines itself.
Okay. Let's switch gears completely. The second big topic. NSF faces shakeup as officials abolish its 37 divisions. The person posting it on Hacker News seemed pretty unhappy. Really, really stupid, I think was the quote.
Yeah, yeah. That definitely set the tone for the discussion. The official line from the NSF is, you know, streamlining. Reducing top executive positions, creating some new non-executive roles, trying to align better with agency needs. That's a spin anyway.
But the feeling on Hacker News was different. More about budget cuts.
Overwhelmingly, yes. The consensus seemed to be this is driven by major budget reductions. The numbers varied a bit in the comments. Some said 25%. Others mentioned proposed cuts as high as 55%.
55%? That's huge for basic research.
It would be catastrophic, yeah. Big concerns about the impact on fundamental STEM and biomedical research. And beyond just the money, there were worries about maybe political motivation.
Political? How so?
Well, some commenters speculated it might be sort of an ideological move, maybe targeting science areas seen as, you know, liberal or specifically targeting DEI initiatives.
DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yeah. That definitely came up in the grant discussion, didn't it? seemed quite polarized.
Very polarized. You had some people claiming that, like, woke language was being forced into grant proposals, even for things like math. But then you had many others, especially those in academia, pushing back hard, saying that's just not true or it's exaggerated. They argued DEI efforts are focused on equal opportunity, broadening participation, not dictating science or lowering standards.
So a real disagreement on what those initiatives actually mean in practice.
Exactly. Debates about legality, impact. Are they about compromising standards for equal outcomes or about fair access and outreach? Lots of strong feelings on both sides.
And if the funding is cut significantly, what are the practical worries? What did people foresee happening?
Well, the ripple effects could be massive. People mentioned university hiring freezes, uncertainty for international grad students, less money for researchers to go to conferences, share their work.
That collaboration aspect is so important.
Crucial. And the bigger picture worry that the U.S. might lose its edge in science and tech. Scientists might just go elsewhere, you know, where research is better supported.
And can private industry just pick up the slack for basic research?
That was a big point of skepticism in the discussion. Many argued that private companies are understandably focused on more immediate commercial applications. Basic, fundamental research often relies heavily on public funding, like the NSF's.
I saw some historical parallels being drawn too, which were quite dramatic.
Yeah, some compared it maybe hyperbolically to things like the Cultural Revolution purging intellectuals. But others brought up positive examples, like how DARPA funding spurred the whole driverless car industry, shows the potential upside of government investment.
And somehow Social Security got pulled into this. How did that happen?
It was a bit of a tangent, yeah. Someone brought it up in the context of government spending priorities, discussing how Social Security is self-funded versus other programs, and debates about its surplus, just part of the broader how does the government spend money conversation.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Topic three. SOFI. Open source web-based system for automating live TV news production. Sounds niche, but interesting.
Yeah, definitely niche, but potentially quite impactful for that industry. SOFI is aiming to use open source web-based tools to automate parts of live news production.
Which is usually pretty complex, I imagine.
Very complex, and often relies on expensive proprietary systems. So an open source alternative is pretty significant. It points towards maybe more accessibility, more customization in broadcasting. There wasn't a ton of discussion on HN itself, but the project itself is notable.
Okay, next up for the data folks, 21 gigabyte CSV parsing. Using SIMD on AMD 9950X. That speed just sounds wild for CSVs.
It really is impressive. 21 gigabytes per second. They're using SIMD single instruction, multiple data, basically getting the processor to do lots of small identical tasks in parallel.
Like an assembly line for data?
Kind of, yeah. And it makes a huge difference on modern CPUs like that AMD 9950X.
The discussion got into the weeds on the optimizations, AVX2, AVX512.
It did. They tracked the progress, started around 18 gigaweeds, hit 20 with AVX2 optimizations, and then 21 with AVX512.
So AVX512 gave that final boost.
It did. But interestingly, some commenters noted the jump from AVX2 to AVX512 wasn't actually that big in this specific test on that AMD chip.
Which ties into that whole debate about Intel removing AVX512 from consumer chips, right?
Exactly. The argument being maybe having more cores that are good at AVX2 is better overall for many users than fewer cores with AVX512, especially with Intel's efficiency cores handling AVX2 well now. It's all about trade-offs in chip design.
There was also some back and forth about how much improvement happened over time. A 3x claim.
Yeah, the article suggested a huge jump, like 3x in under 2 years. But commenters were quick to point out that you're comparing different hardware and software.
Oh, not an apples-to-apples software comparison then.
Right. Someone did a rough calculation suggesting maybe a 17% improvement from software alone over that period. Still good, but not 3x. It shows that you got to read benchmarks carefully.
And people definitely did read this one carefully. What were some other critiques?
Well, some felt the performance chart was a bit misleading, maybe skipping CPU generations. Others questioned if it was truly single-threaded or using the whole CPU. And people brought up alternative fast CSV parsers like QSV, asking how this benchmark stacks up against those in real-world use. Standard benchmark debates.
It's still kind of amazing, though, that we're talking about optimizing CSV parsing at these speeds. Why are CSVs still so common?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It came up a lot. They're simple, text-based, human-readable.
Everyone knows how to open one in Excel.
Exactly. That compatibility is huge, even for high-speed stuff like network flow data. More efficient binary formats like protocol buffers exist, sure, but managing the schemas can be more complex.
So it's a trade-off, speed versus simplicity and compatibility.
Pretty much. People mentioned huge CSV use cases like telcos with call records, maybe finance. But yeah, for massive data sets, they are inefficient, big files, slow to parse sometimes, easy to mess up, yet they persist.
Okay, last one. Show HN, HiVector, a fast and modern SVG editor. Always cool to see new creative tools pop up.
Definitely. This one's positioned as fast, modern, and importantly, the creator comes from an Adobe Illustrator background and is aiming for a more intuitive experience than, say, Inkscape.
Ah, taking on Inkscape's usability. What were the specific complaints there?
The creator listed a few things. Weird key bindings in Inkscape, like zoom not being curl, plus the initial window size being odd, no path outlines on selection making it hard to see, no layer previews, and verbose SVG output. They see an opening for something easier to pick up.
And how was HiVector received? Any first impressions?
Seemed pretty positive initially. One user commented on the intuitive pen tool, like the object panel with previews, and thought things like clip paths and Boolean operations were well integrated.
But it's new, so probably lots of feedback and requests, too.
Oh, yeah. People wanted tool switching, key bindings, node snapping, maybe different node editing tools. Some features shown weren't functional yet, like corner rounding on polygons. And there were reports of issues like joining nodes, connecting paths, even some system lockups.
Oh, these bugs.
Standard stuff. For Show HN. Plus, questions about how it really stacks up feature-wise against Inkscape or web editors like SVG Edit.
Was the creator responding to all this?
Seemed to be, yeah. Acknowledge the feedback, explain some design choices like why curve dragging felt easy, mention complexities in the object model, clarified that raw SVG editing isn't planned right now because of the internal model. Admitted Inkscape has more features, but stressed HiVector's focus is ease of use. Aware of missing SVG bits, like filters, plans to improve node stuff.
And someone mentioned another SVG editor in Godot.
Yeah, godasvg.com, an open source one built in the Godot game engine, shows there's still activity in this space. Also worth noting, HiVector is apparently freemium.
Freemium, okay. So maybe a paid tier later.
Probably.
Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive for May 9th, 2025. We really went across the map today. Particle physics, science policy, broadcasting, data crunching, creative software.
A classic Hacker News mix, really. From fundamental questions about the universe to very practical tools people are building right now.
Absolutely. We saw the limits of alchemy, debates about research funding, open source innovation, the relentless push for speed, and the ongoing quest for better user interfaces.
It really shows the breadth of what captures the attention of this community.
So here's something to maybe chew on as we wrap up.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about speed versus usability, especially with the CSVs and the SVG editor. How do you think we as a tech community should balance that relentless drive for performance with making tools and data formats accessible and easy for everyone to actually use?
That's a great question. It's a tension you see everywhere in tech, isn't it?
It really is. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll be back next time to unpack more fascinating discussions from the Hacker News front page.